What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Big Ten Football Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Guggenheim. We're going to talk spring games, talk about Northwestern playing in essentially a high school stadium this season, and I'm going to be talking about a little bit of a different direction for the podcast. Make sure to like, follow, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify, YouTube. Particularly follow us on Spotify. But also make sure to like and smash that subscribe button for YouTube. Follow us, leave a review, send me emails. I got someone on Twitter who was very, very, I don't know if he was mock angry or very angry at my jockeying for Brett Bielema being a good head coach. He says he wants him fired. But I do love to engage and I love to interact. So please send me emails. Follow us on Twitter, Big Ten Football Talk or that's the handle for Twitter and Instagram. Email BigTenFootballTalk@gmail.com. And of course, check us out on the Big Ten Huddle. I should say the College Huddle, the Big Ten Huddle version. Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. Make sure to check us out. I want to start with just a few kind of quick hitters because I didn't get a chance to watch a lot of the games on this past Saturday. I'm doing a lot of reading, some cut-ups of the games and whatnot, but I wanted to hit a few things that stood out to me just from the reporting of the games. I read the Center Daily Times for Penn State, and they had some interesting thoughts. Read Journal and Courier for Purdue. And I did get to watch the first half of the Ohio State spring game. And I'll start with Penn State. There has been a lot of buzz that Keandre Lambert-Smith is looking at the transfer portal. I think that has been almost all but confirmed because he was nowhere near the spring game on Saturday, which is a little surprising. Like, he was probably in line to be their number one receiver. You know, he was their number one guy last year. You got year two with Drew Allar. So I'm surprised that he is considering transferring. I know that you have Julian Fleming coming in, and I don't know how much he's going to take away. Caden Saunders saw a number of targets in the spring game. He's six in the first half. And so that, to me, signals that they have guys to kind of take the role from Keandre Lambert-Smith. And I'll be honest, I think Keandre Lambert-Smith was a decent receiver. I don't think he was great. I think you've heard me on this podcast say that the receiver room at Penn State, I thought, really limited their offense last year, as did the offensive play calling. Kotelnicki coming in is going to, I think, be a huge upgrade to that offensive staff. But I am surprised that he is most likely moving on. We'll get into some of that probably in a week or two in terms of the transfer portal. But in general, it seemed like there was a lot of buzz about Caden Saunders, and then Cam Wallace, who is the running back behind Nick Singleton and Katron Allen. Wallace showed a lot of athleticism, finished seven carries with 36 yards. And honestly, like, that's, for a running back to flash in a spring game can be hard because typically your offensive line, you know, it hasn't gelled yet and whatnot. And so the fact that it seems like they have another running back in that rotation, particularly after Singleton slumped a bit this season, I think that really bodes well for Penn State and their offense. Drew Allar threw for over 200 yards. So, you know, again, for him, it's continuing to progress and getting him reps. So I think it was a good step forward for the Nittany Lions, at least based on what I'm reading. I want to move to Purdue, and I think from at least what I'm reading, should be excited. Hudson Card was 11 of 17, 160 yards. Remember, their offense really struggled a year ago. And it looks like their offensive line is starting to gel. The special teams, really good. Ben Freehill and Ryan Shackelford. Or no, sorry. Ben Freehill, the kicker, was 3 for 3 on field goals, connecting from 45 yards on one of them. So that's again positive signs for the Boilermakers. We know that their defense, the safeties in particular, are a strength. You know, Dylan Thielemann, really good player. But I think that the real story in this game is you had some guys step up in place of Deion Burks at wide receiver. Deion Burks no longer with the team. Hudson Card continuing to show some command in that offense, progressing, which again, Hudson Card came in as a highly touted guy into Texas, transferred to Purdue last year after getting beat out by Quinn Ewers for the Longhorns. But this is a good quarterback. And I continue to say this, if Purdue kind of figures out who they want to be and if they can kind of progress on the lines, this is a team that I think could be a surprise team in the conference next year. Because honestly, I think Hudson Card might be one of the better quarterbacks in the league. I know there's a youth movement, like Dylan Raiola is coming into Nebraska. You've got a lot of transfers. You've got, you know, obviously Dylan Gabriel at Oregon. You've got other guys coming in at Washington and UCLA. Well, UCLA, they have the same guy. They have Miller Moss at USC. But I really do think that if Hudson Card continues to progress, that really bodes well for the Boilermakers. And if some of these playmakers kind of came, you know, if they were able to kind of figure it out, you know, they've got a good running back core. Devin Mockabee, again, really good player at the running back position, former walk-on. Again, I just think this could be a team that surprises. I'm not going to say that they're going to be in the top five of the Big Ten. I think it's going to be really hard with the way the conference is set up now, but I think they could surprise and get at least a bowl eligibility next season. I'll say this too. I think their defensive line, they got a lot of pressure. So that some of that was, I think, the offensive line is still struggling. But that is a good sign considering that Nick Skowerton is gone and that Jenkins move to inside linebacker, the fact that they can still generate a pass rush. That's a good sign for this Boilermaker defense, because if they can have Jenkins at linebacker and be an impact guy there, and they still get a pass rush with some of their other guys, and you've got the safety position on lockdown, I think this could, again, I think defensively they could be really good. I'll move to Ohio State. I did get to watch a little bit of this game, particularly in the first half. My impressions of Ohio State, one is that I think Lincoln Kinholz is definitely going to transfer. He did not have a good game. He had some good throws, but he made some bad plays too. And he's kind of the odd man out right now. Like, I think Devin Brown and Will Howard are very much in the quarterback race. I think they're probably QB1 and QB2 at this point. I think Lincoln is kind of stuck. And I think the freshmen are freshmen. You know, Julian Sain, who I thought had some good moments in this game, threw a really bad pick. You know, he's still adjusting to the speed of the game. So I think he'll be fine. I think he'll be better than fine. I think he'll be a really good player. But I don't think he's in position right now, at least, to compete for the starting position. It's really Devin Brown and Will Howard, I think, are the guys. I think a lot was made about the offensive line. I have not been an offensive line believer. Ryan Day even said afterwards he wants to go after an offensive lineman in the portal. I will say, though, I was more impressed with them than I expected. You know, they went one-on-one, or, you know, 1v1. And I thought the offensive line had moments where they dominated in the run game. And, you know, they opened some big holes for Judkins and for Henderson. And I thought they pass protected decently, right? I still think the right side of the line is a bit of a liability, but not nearly as much as a year ago. So I feel good about their offensive line. I'll still say I'm not sure. I think the running ability for the quarterback room is much better than with Kyle McCord, but I'm still not sold on the fact that any of these guys right now are better than McCord. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I think the other thing that really impressed me during the spring game, these Ohio State defensive backs are for real. And I think they go at least four deep. Denzel Burke is a stud. Igbinosin has really improved. You know, he's sticky in coverage against Emeka, against Jeremiah Smith, who's kind of the all-world freshman receiver. Jordan Hancock, he looked really good. And then Jermaine Matthews at that fourth corner. They've really recruited well. Tim Walton, I mistook him for Perry Eliano the other day. Perry Eliano is not on staff anymore. It's Matt Gudiere. But Tim Walton has done a phenomenal job developing that corner room. With all three of these teams, it's spring. You know, don't make too many judgments. But those are just some of the things in terms of reading and seeing. Those are just some of the things that caught my attention. I'm going to move to Northwestern. And it's been known for a couple years now that they are going to be renovating Ryan Field. And the renovation has been, I think there's a lot of excitement, but also kind of a bit head scratching. So when this was first put out there, you would think that they would try to get a higher attendance and get, higher capacity for seating. You know, it's a Big Ten team, Big Ten setting. The proposed design highlights were actually smaller crowds, maximum capacity of 35,000, more than 12,000 fewer than the current Ryan Field. They wanted to just make it more of a state-of-the-art type facility. The old Ryan Field was, definitely not up to par in terms of its design. So I'm all on board with the state-of-the-art design, but what shocks me is that they're going to reduce capacity. So that was 2 years ago. That was a couple years ago. Now, fast forward where the announcement came that as they wait for the permanent stadium to be built, they're going to play the majority of its home games for the next 2 seasons at a temporary stadium built at its practice facility. Is this a Big Ten team? Like, seriously, Northwestern, what are you doing? Now, I'll give them credit. They're talking with facilities like Wrigley Field for to host teams. The one in particular that they're talking about is Ohio State. They're going to maybe find other venues in the Chicago area. But what shocks me is that they did not have a plan in place 2 years out, knowing that they were going to renovate the stadium, to have a better plan than this. It's going to be, again, significantly smaller seating. And while it seems like it's just going to be non-conference teams as well as maybe one or two conference games, it's still maddening to me to think that you are a Big Ten team getting NI or not getting NIL, but getting Big Ten money. And I don't know how many people, there's not a lot of numbers in terms of how many seats there are going to be. But I can't imagine like this being a good idea. Like, I get it. It's temporary. It's 2 years. But man, I don't understand it. It feels like to me like they don't know how to be a Big Ten program, at least in terms of their approach. And listen, I'm a Northwestern guy. I like Northwestern. I mean, you heard me on this podcast. I love David Braun. I think their resiliency over all the struggles this past year, one of the great stories in college football, right? Why on earth is this the plan? And I think it's even though they're building Ryan Field, I think it's going to stunt recruiting. I think it slows momentum in a time where you can't really slow. Like you have four new teams coming into the conference. You're now no longer protected by only playing West teams with a couple of East teams sprinkled in. Like you're going to go through the gauntlet every year. And now you're going to just, this is what you're going to show recruits. I think the next couple of years are going to be pretty hard, and it's going to be a pretty hard sell for David Braun, who is still learning how to be a major head coach. So I just don't understand why this is the plan. Maybe it works out. Maybe I'm speaking out of ignorance, but I just think it's a bad idea. So that's going to do it. Before I sign off, let me just give you a taste of where we're going, a little bit of where we're going. So you guys know that I am also a co-host over at the Big Ten Huddle, which is now part of the College Huddle network consortium. I don't know how the best way to describe it. It's kind of a network, kind of a it's a network. We're just going to call it a network. And so it's my hope is as part of the Big Ten Huddle, that's going to be the main place where I do picks and predictions. But what I'm excited about, and I had talked with Eric Boggs over at the OHIO podcast and JR over at the Big Ten Huddle, I think what we're going to start doing, and I'm excited to do this, is starting to bring some of the other podcasters from that network to talk about things like state of the program, best case, worst case. And my hope is that as we do that, as much as I like to have my finger on the pulse of everything Big Ten, you're going to get some inside information about hopefully every team in the Big Ten. Now, there's a few programs that we still don't have podcasts for, but my hope is that eventually you'll get to hear on the regular, once a week, an episode about the state of the program, about where they're at, and what to expect from them, and in season, like how they're doing. And then on during the regular season, you'll hear predictions and recap over the Big Ten Huddle. And here you'll get to hear kind of the process of each podcaster and their program. So that's my hope. I hope you guys enjoy that. It is a little different, and we're trying things out, right? It's kind of the grand experiment. So, I love your feedback, love your thoughts. I'm hoping to start next week. We'll see if I can get there. So we are gonna close out the show. One thing I just ask, I mentioned a couple months ago that there's a medical issue in our family. If you are someone who prays, I would ask you, and it's what I've been praying to God, and what I've been asking Jesus, is just pray that there's a surgery this Thursday. Pray that God's will be done. Pray that we would cast our anxieties on Him, and that this family member would there would be nothing remaining of the health issue, that the doctors would be skilled. So please pray for that. If you're not the praying type, thoughts are thankful, but I really particularly appreciate prayer, particularly on Thursday. So appreciate you all. Take care. God bless.